This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry often points with pride to his 19 years as a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. That lengthy record includes more than 6,000 votes cast by Kerry. Both his rival, fellow Senator John Edwards, and supporters of President Bush are trying to use Kerry's Senate voting record against him. NPR's David Wellner reports.
Shortly after Howard Dean dropped out of the primary battles last week and it became a two-man race for the Democratic nomination, John Kerry made a mistake. He assured reporters that when it came to trade, he and his rival John Edwards had, in his words, exactly the same policy. Kerry pointed out that his fellow Senator Edwards voted to make China a permanent trade partner, and so did he. But Kerry has, in fact, backed a number of trade deals that Edwards has opposed. And Edwards has responded by portraying himself as tougher on trade than Kerry, as he did the other day in New York.
That's why I voted against Fast Track, against the Chile Agreement, against the Caribbean Trade Agreement, against the Singapore Trade Agreement, against the African Agreement. These were bad trade deals. Bad for our economy, bad for our workers, and bad for our values. They were wrong, and I was right to vote against them.
Edwards also criticizes the North American Free Trade Agreement, a trade deal that Kerry voted for a full 4 years before Edwards even became a senator. But aside from some differences on trade, not much in Edwards' far slimmer 5-year voting record sets him apart from Kerry. Both oppose President Bush's tax cuts. Both voted for the Iraq War resolution. Both opposed the $87 billion additional dollars that Congress approved last year for fighting that war. Kerry admits his support for trade deals has angered some Democrats, but he stands by his record. Just before his first big win in the Iowa caucuses, Kerry stood before a skeptical crowd in a town called Independence and defended having voted for NAFTA.
We have to fix NAFTA. But I think getting rid of NAFTA is not the right way to go. I think you want to tighten it up, fix it, require better standards on both sides, and that way it can work for both sides.
Like many other issues Kerry's voted on, this one for him is neither black nor white. He warned the crowd in Iowa against what he called half-cocked solutions to jobs going abroad. Ross Baker is a political scientist at Rutgers University who's been watching Kerry's Senate career for 2 decades. Baker says the senator tends not just to see the complexity of issues, but to talk about it as well.
Perhaps his thoughtfulness may lead at times to a kind of irresoluteness. I think he may get stuck on issues. He may think about them too deeply. That's a great quality in a legislator, but it may be a less praiseworthy quality in a president.
But where some see possibly too much soul-searching, others find inconsistency. President Bush's backers say comparing Kerry's Senate record to what he said on the campaign trail produces, as one GOP operative put it, a gold mine of contradictions. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie took aim at Kerry last week on Meet the Press.
The fact is he consistently says one thing and does another. This is a man who in the United States Senate has voted for the No Child Left Behind Act and now says it's an abomination. This is someone who voted for the Patriot Act and now says we have to replace it. Voted for the war in Iraq and now says he's an anti-war candidate.
Kerry, in fact, does not actually call himself an anti-war candidate. But when he officially declared his candidacy last fall while standing before an aircraft carrier in South Carolina, Kerry clearly felt the need to justify his support for the Iraq War resolution and his subsequent criticism of the president who ordered that war.
I voted to threaten the use of force to make Saddam Hussein comply with the resolutions of the United Nations. I believe that was right, but it was wrong to rush to war without building a true international coalition and with no plan to win the peace.
Kerry does not talk on the campaign trail about the 1991 vote he cast opposing the Persian Gulf War. But in the years that followed that vote, and with President Clinton in the White House rather than President Bush's father, Kerry began endorsing force when diplomacy failed to bring results. He did so in an interview with NPR a decade ago when military rulers in Haiti refused to allow that country's overthrown president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, return to power.
You may ultimately have to use force. The point is, America has to decide. We in the United States have to make some fundamental decisions about what our diplomacy means, what risks we're willing to take in this new world, and what has meaning to us and to our neighbors.
Kerry also pushed for U.S. military intervention in the Balkans, but in 1998, Kerry voiced skepticism about the conclusion of an independent commission headed by Donald Rumsfeld, which warned that Iran, North Korea, and Iraq could acquire nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles faster than U.S. intelligence agencies had foreseen.
As a member of the Intelligence Committee, there's nothing that I'm aware of that suggests that the threat of an attack on the United States territory is increasingly likely in the next few years.
Republicans working for the president's reelection insist the fact that Kerry's a decorated Vietnam combat veteran does not mean his voting record on national security is above scrutiny. Again, RNC Chairman Ed Gillespie on Meet the Press.
The questions I have about Senator Kerry's national security policies relate to the policies he's adopted and the policies he's voted for in the United States Senate, including voting and advocating a cut of $1.5 billion in our nation's intelligence funding at a time we most needed it back in 1995. That's a $300 million cut in intelligence funding the year before the Khobar Towers were bombed.
The money Kerry proposed trimming from intelligence funding was in fact only a small part of a $90 billion spending cut he offered to help reduce deficits. Kerry's proposal died in committee, but Rutgers' Ross Baker says he showed much more concern than did many fellow Democrats about the budget being in the red.
For example, he was one of the people who was very active in getting the Graham-Rudman-Hollings bill enacted, which was a budgetary control measure, which was very popular with conservatives.
For all his years in the Senate, Kerry has gotten few of his bills signed into law. Instead, he's made his name heading high-profile probes into shadowy figures such as former Panamanian leader Manuel Noriega, or the money laundering bank BCCI. And in the early 1990s, he teamed up with some Senate Republicans and traveled to Vietnam to try to get an accounting of the more than 2,000 American troops who remained missing in Indochina. Here's Kerry in 1992 speaking outside a former war prison in Ho Chi Minh City.
We've gone into the equivalent of their Pentagon, we've gone into the equivalent of their FBI or whatever you want to call it, to major detention centers. We've gone into prisons. We've gone to places which previously, because of the mistrust, we haven't been allowed to visit. And it's my measurement that the cooperation has significantly increased and I think has opened a new chapter and real new possibilities.
Kerry's efforts as chair of the Select Committee on POW-MIA Affairs eventually helped restore diplomatic relations with Vietnam. Meanwhile, Kerry was compiling a solid liberal record on social issues. He supported abortion rights. He pushed for a boost in the minimum wage. And in 1996, he was one of only 14 senators who voted against the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, which stated that no state would be obliged to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. At the time, Kerry called the bill, quote, a thinly veiled attempt to score political debating points by scapegoating gay and lesbian Americans. With same-sex marriage once again in the headlines, Kerry told reporters in Memphis earlier this month he opposes a Massachusetts High Court's decision to let same-sex marriages go forward there.
I'm saying that I have supported civil unions and I've supported rights, and I don't want to see the ability to have that kind of equality under the law affected. But I'm not in favor of marriage. Very simple. I don't believe marriage is appropriate.
Campaigning against fellow Democrats, Kerry has rarely had to defend his Senate record. But he can clearly expect many more questions about his record in the months to come, especially if he's the man the Bush campaign must beat in the fall. David Wellner, NPR News, The Capitol.
Political columns by NPR senior correspondents and editors are at npr.org.